All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Church and State on Magnificat Radio. I am your host, Stephen Cox. Again, this is a show dedicated to all things Catholicism, all things politics, and everything in between. You know, there's a couple of things we want to get to today. Later on, I'll have on Tyler Nethercott. He's a friend of mine, blogger at Vigilate or rate.blogspot.com. We'll talk about the attacks that just took place in Brussels, Belgium, and essentially try to answer the question, why does God allow suffering? Or in other words, why does God allow these sorts of punishments to come upon people who, you know, we might think are good people, and, you know, why does God allow that? So we do have some other stories to get to this week. Obviously, the Pope washed the feet of Muslims, of Hindus, of non-Catholics. We'll get to that in just a second. The NFL and Coca-Cola helped pressure the governor of Georgia to veto a religious freedom bill that would have allowed persons opposed to the totalitarian homosexuality in this country to have some sort of breathing space. You know, of course, we always hear that Russia is a kleptocracy and Russia is an oligarchy. Well, it seems undeniable the United States is just as corrupt. And so we'll get into that in just a second. And then, of course, again, go to akacatholic.com to read my views on Brussels and the Belgium incident that took place. But first things first, you know, the nuns, these sisters of the poor, these little sisters of the poor, were in the Supreme Court this past week. And they were saying to the Supreme Court that our consciences tell us that providing abortifacients and abortion-inducing drugs violates our conscience, our religious beliefs. And, well, outside the court this week, there was a really fascinating stark contrast. And this is about a 30-second video. On the one hand, you hear nuns singing a song to Blessed Mother Mary. And then on the other hand, you have these activist, liberal, secular women, most of them whom are in their 20s, saying, "My body, my choice." And again, this took place outside the Supreme Court. And, you know, this is the clash of civilization we're living in. And this is, I think, the end result of the liberal project altogether. Because what does liberalism say? It wants to separate the conjugal act from pregnancy. It wants to separate reason from faith. And when we do that, naturally we say, my body, my choice. Not God's creation, his will. Because that's what we are. We are God's creatures, bound by his will under pain of eternal punishment. But of course, again, I think the end result is, and I hate to be perhaps pessimistic here, at the end of the day, even if these nuns win this case, look at the society around us. It's come crashing down. It's in ruins. Just like ISIS went into Palmyra recently, this very ancient city in Syria, and destroyed all its archaeological treasures that had been saved up for hundreds and thousands of years. The liberal project that we have or living in does not recognize the rights of conscience. It deems it hate speech and bigoted and xenophobic. And it will bulldoze anything that stands in its way. These terms that you hear, we operate in terms of hate and love. That's it, to the liberal mind. You're one or the other. You don't have nuance. There is no discussion. There is no in between. That's why it makes no sense when I hear folks out there, especially Catholics, saying, oh, let's dialogue with our enemies. Let's try to convince them of our personal convictions. Liberalism will not save us. Only Christ the King and proclaiming the truth and converting souls to the one true Catholic faith can save us. So however the nun's story or court ruling shakes out, I don't think it will end well. We've still lost. We've still lost. We need to recognize that. Second big story. Obviously, Pope Francis was washing the feet of non-Catholics. Again, the Pope recently changed the rubrics to allow women to have their feet washed. But of course, now the Pope says you can wash the feet of anyone who is a member of the people of God. Now, this phrase, again, originates at Vatican II, and I can't begin to explain how diabolical it is. Because, one, again, historically, the Church has always been the mystical body of Christ, with the Pope as its head, the College of Cardinals, the religious vocations, the women, the religious, the priests, and then the laity. But then, of course, is also the Church. The Church is also the Church Militant, which is us here on this eternity, this plane of eternity, the Church Suffering, those who are in purgatory, and then the Church Triumphant. This concept of the people of God, one, it democratizes the Church. It flattens the mystical body of Christ into an egalitarian society. Everyone's equal. The priest presides, the laity read at Mass, they distribute communion, they take the role of the priest. The people, the masses, the majority rule instead of a hierarchy. And then the people of God, it's a very naturalistic concept because people are living, are human beings. And of God, well, of God, that's a very inclusive term. Again, the Church had always prayed for and asked the Church Triumphant, those in heaven, to pray for and intercede for the Church Militant and the Church Suffering. But again, the people of God, that rules out the saints, that rules out the suffering souls in purgatory. It's very ecumenical. It's very Protestant in a certain way. It rules out the saints. People of God is a very broad concept that reflects the mentality and the change the Church undertook that must be resisted that it took at Vatican Council II. It's a naturalistic way of thinking. And moreover, the people of God, well, who isn't a person of God? Again, according to Pope Francis, at this feet-washing ceremony, you can hardly call it a Mass, because when he said this Mass, he said it at an asylum seeker's place of refuge in northern Italy. Half of the people there weren't even Catholic. Half of them were Muslims, some of them were Coptic Christians, some were Hindus. These people didn't even know what was going on. I mean, in a way, you felt bad for the Pope. He's saying this. I mean, it's the Mass. It's the most holy sacrifice of the Mass. And these people don't even know what's going on. They don't have a clue. Yet when I watched it on EWTN, half of them went up and got communion. And, I mean, it was an embarrassment. You're dragging the Bride of Christ through mud, is what I saw. It was such an embarrassment. But again, the people of God. Pope Francis says, now we can include the people of God. And so what does he do? He says, okay, we're going to have Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, and we're going to wash their feet. This is the ecumenical, very open-minded brotherhood, naturalistic brotherhood that the Pope's reflecting. Again, we are not brothers in Christ. We are not brothers or children of God with those who are adhering to heresy or who are not baptized in Christ. Again, we become brothers in Christ and children of God through baptism and through sharing the sacraments. This people of God concept, this thoroughly Freemasonic idea, it's entirely opposed to the Catholic faith. And yet, what do we have? We have the Pope here. He's reflecting a naturalistic, very world-like humility here. It's an indifference to the fact that these persons are not in the Catholic faith. It's an indifference to the truth that Christ only washed the feet of the apostles he chose. And now all across the country, we have priests washing the feet of 14-year-old girls, single women in their 30s, you know, young priests. This is not a good thing for our priest to do. I mean, next year it'll be the bishop washing the feet of a local rabbi or a local imam. I mean, imagine the ripple effect this is going to have. Have there been any conversions, by the way? Has anyone been brought to truth by this? President Obama said he was moved by Pope Francis' feet washing. Well, someone in the world, someone mired in error and in the world, may be moved by it. But what, you know, as Catholic News Service reported, I think these women who got their feet washed by the Pope were emotional. They cried. Well, what does Scripture say? He that would gain the whole world but lose his soul, what does it matter? I would say whoever gets emotional at the Pope's actions, what does it matter if they don't become Catholic ultimately? Anyway, it's mind-boggling how upside down and inside out this Pope has turned the Catholic Church and the one true faith. Earlier I mentioned again that in Georgia, the NFL, Coca-Cola, I think it was Home Depot as well, said to the state there, hey, if you don't change this religious freedom law, we're going to move out of here. And we might think about relocating the Super Bowl and our headquarters. Look, it's all a facade. We live in a country run by the powerful, by the elites, by the moneyed interests. We live in a country where there's fiat money. It's basically a false economy. It's an illusion. Everybody has a credit card. They're trying to eliminate our currency. Lawrence Summers, the former president of Harvard, involved in the world economy and the World Bank, recently came out with an op-ed for the New York Times saying, let's eliminate $100 bills and big bills. You know, it's all a mirage. Everything's planned for us. We have, in our times, we have planned for retirement. Buy a nice house. Got a headache or a achy joints? Here, take a pill. It'll be fine. Have one or maybe two kids at the most, because the more kids you have, it's going to be very costly and stressful. Television shows, what do? They give us false heroes. Superman, Batman. All these people who we somehow look up to as cultural icons. Instead of looking at the saints, as we should, and priests and bishops and heroes and martyrs. These musicians we have, they're not musicians. They create highly intense, dynamic songs that last, 2, 3, 4 minutes, and then after a month, you can't hear them anymore. You can't stand them. This is not music. This modern world is so false. It's run by these corporate elites, these powerful individuals who say, if you don't do it our way, we're going to punish you. And this is what liberalism is. And this is what liberalism does. Anyone who's opposed to its laissez-faire morality, anyone who's opposed to ultimately spreading choice and quote-unquote freedom and liberty at any cost and maximum pleasure in this life and minimal suffering, you are an enemy of the state. And in a certain way, these Muslims coming into Europe who are opposed to the Western lifestyle see that. I mean, Iraq, Iran, Syria, these countries outlaw Freemasons. Saddam Hussein despised Freemasonry. They disallow the New World Order from coming in and upending their countries and establishing these oligarchies under the false guise of freedom. To a certain extent, you have to applaud that. But at the same time, they're still blinded by their false religion. And this is what happens when we get attacked in Brussels in Belgium. You know, they want to stand up for their false religion and against this corrupted, false, constructed, quote-unquote democracy that the West wants to spread in this parts of the country and in the parts of the world. But they do it, my gosh, in the very worst way, and they need to be denounced. But again, it does get back to the heart of all this. You know, we live in times where the world around us is nothing but a fiction. We need to return to the one true Catholic faith, the only thing that has, up until this time, stood the test of all these sorts of societies that have come and went. Nations must rise and fall, and they will. No nation can endure forever. The United States will not endure forever. Western democracy, liberal democracy, it's based on man, and God will not allow man to erect something that will overcome his will. He'll only allow it to go so far. He did it with the Tower of Babel. And let's pray, my friends, that he doesn't allow it to go too much further. Because the coming chastisement for transgressing his laws is going to be very, very severe. Very severe. Alright, so we'll be right back after this quick break on Church and State. We'll have Tyler Nethercutt right around the corner. Stay tuned.